Today's shiur is Masechta Saita Daf Lamed Hey, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, the bottom line. The Gemara continues discussing the Parshas HaMeraglim, when the Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael and came back with a negative report. The Pasuk says, V'yishuvu mitor ha'aretz, they returned from inspecting the land. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'yelchu v'yavou. The pasuk by putting together the words v'yelchu v'yavou, that's the way most Rishonim learn. Others explain that why does the pasuk have to say both the word v'yelchu and the word v'yavou? What does it have to say both of those words to teach us makash halicha labia? The Torah is comparing the way the malachim went and the way they returned. Mabia. We know that when they returned from Eretz Yisrael, they came back with Eitzarah. They came back with the wrong intention and with the wrong message. Af halicha, so was the way that they left. They went by Eitzarah with the wrong intention and the wrong intent. Mefarshim ask, the Pasuk says, regarding the Meraglim, Yishach Oysa Moshim Amid Baparam Kulan Anoshim. So the Pasuk calls them Anoshim, and as Rashi says in Chumash, Anoshim, Anoshim Ksherim, that they were good people when they were sent. So the question is, how does our Gemara call them? How does the Gemara say that they went Beitzerah? So the Mashiach answers that when they were actually chosen, they were Anoshim Ksherim. They were good people. But by the time they left, they already had changed and had the wrong intent and the wrong plan. Another teretz that I saw is that the Meraglim were actually good people, but the authority that a shliach has emanates from the Meshaleach, from the one that sends him. Klai Yisrael's intention were actually not proper intentions. And since the Meraglim represented Klai Yisrael, if their intentions weren't proper, it turned the Meraglim into also having the wrong intention. And that's why the Mefarshim explained, we could understand, even though normally we know there's a rule, Shluchim Mitzvah, Einan Zaykin, somebody that goes to do a Shluchim Mitzvah doesn't get harmed by doing the Shluchim Mitzvah. Here, as the Gemara is teaching us, they had the wrong intent, that's why the regular rule of Shluchim Mitzvah doesn't apply. I saw another nice pshat. The Gemara, the word halicha means to go. The word bia means to go. But bia means that a person is going to a place where he belongs. The Gemara is saying is makish halicha labia. The bia, the going of these meraglim, they didn't feel that they were going to the place where they belonged. And that was the flaw of their shlichus. So the pasuk continues saying, the Meraglim return and say what they saw. They said that the people living in Eretz Yisrael were strong. Any lashon hara that doesn't have some element of truth to it, there has to be truth to it. And that's why here too, the Meraglim, there was truth. They began by saying that Eretz Shlachtanu Begam Zavas Chol Devashi. They said nice things in order that their Lashon Hara should be accepted. And the simple Peshan in the Gemara is that in order for somebody to be believable, be believed, he has to say things that people will believe. And that's why they said these kind of statements, which they believed would get the people, would get everybody to believe them. Another pshat that the Mefarshim explained is that we know sheker ein roi raglayim, falsehood can't have any standing. In order for this sheker to be able to have some sort of bearing, there has to be emes mixed in to the sheker. Another pshat that I saw is that if what they say will be total lies, then something which is total lie can't have kiyum. But if But if it's total sheker, something which is total sheker has emes, has an element of emes to it. What is the emes to it? That it's a pure lie. So that's why it has to have sheker, emes mixed in, that even the sheker is not a true sheker. So the Meraglim gave their very negative report about Eretz Yisrael, and the pasuk says, V'yas kolof es amal Moshe. Amar Rava, what does that mean? She, he sees some advarim. He wanted, he got them to listen because he was going to say bad things about Moshe. And as the Mefarshim explained, Posh Pshat in the pasuk is, V'yas kolof es amal Moshe, that Kolev told everybody to remain silent, to listen to what Moshe Rabbeinu was going to say. However, if that is pshat in the pasuk, then we have a very big difficulty, because we don't really find Moshe Rabbeinu at that point saying anything. It must be, therefore, says Rava, what the pasuk means to say is that they, and as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, they thought that Kolev were also joining together with the Meraglim to speak negatively about Moshe Rabbeinu, about Eretz Yisrael. Because what happened? Pasuk Yeshua the Kamishtoi. First Yeshua spoke positively about Eretz Yisrael, positively about Moshe Rabbeinu. Amrile, and they said, we're not going to believe what Yeshua says. Why? Dein Roish Ikti Yamalo, this one who has a severed head, we should listen to. What was the problem with Yeshua? So Mefarshim explained, Yeshua had no children. And they therefore said, since he has no children, he doesn't have that much at stake into entering Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't have children that will inherit him. Another pshat that I saw is that someone who doesn't have children doesn't really have the same feeling, doesn't really have the same feeling about other people as one who has children. As we find, the Gemara says in Masechta the Sanhedrin that a dayan is disqualified from being a judge if he's a person who has no children. And therefore they said, Yeshua is a person without children. He's not a person that really should have any ability to have a stake here. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that the Gemara says that if a couple is married for 10 years with no children, they should get divorced. However, the Gemara says that's only if they are living in Eretz Yisrael. Living in Chutz Laaretz doesn't count. So what happened here, explained the Mefarshim, was they said that Yeshua, the reason he's anxious to enter into Eretz Yisrael is because he wants to have children and he hopes that the schus of Eretz Yisrael will cause him to have children. And therefore, he should not be believed. I asked the Mefarshim, we do find that Yeshua had daughters, so how are we explaining Yeshua had no children? So, I saw to this also two terutzim. One terutz is that Yeshua's daughters were only born after they entered Eretz Yisrael, and another terutz is that even if Yeshua already had daughters, the parsha that daughters inherit parents only was said after the story, the episode of Benoist Salafchid. The story of Meraglim preceded the episode of the Benoist Salafchid, so at that point, having daughters didn't cause one to have someone to inherit him. Why didn't Yeshua have children? So Farshim explained, as we learned in the previous year, Yeshua's name was originally Hoshea. The Yud was added to his name by Moshe Rabbeinu. From where did Moshe Rabbeinu have the Yud? So we explained in the previous year, from Sarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Sarai's name to Sarah. We know that Sarah was an Akara. So now when Yeshua assumed part of Sarah's name, he didn't have children. Another reason Mefarshim explained that they didn't want to listen to him, because they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said that when Klal Yisrael will enter Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua will be their leader. And therefore they said, of course Yeshua should not be trusted when he says that we should enter Eretz Yisrael, because Yeshua wants to become the leader of Klal Yisrael, and that's why he's saying good things about Eretz Yisrael. Omar, so at that point Kalev said, Im Mishteina, if I too will openly oppose the Meraglim, Amri be milsa v'chamsili. They'll say something to also prevent me from being listened to. So Rabbi Yoyad explains what could they have said. They could have said, as we also learned in the previous year, Kalev went to the city of Chevron all by himself. When he went to the city of Chevron by himself, we also learned that he met the Bnei Anok. And they would have said that the Bnei Anok paid off Kalev to say nice things about Eretz Yisrael, that the Jews should enter Eretz Yisrael, and once the Jews will enter Eretz Yisrael, they'll be able to wipe out the Jews. Amalhem. So what Kalev did was, he started speaking in a way that they should believe that he was in the same plane as the Meraglim. And he said, V'chi zu bilvad oslo ben Amram. Is this the only thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did? And this is the proof that he was trying to speak disparagingly about Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he didn't even call him Moshe. He called him Ben Amram and Savri. And that's why everybody thought, that Kalev was going to speak badly about Moshe. And Ishtiku, and they remained quiet. Amluhu. So he said to them, Hatzionu Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that took us out of Mitzrayim. Karlanu Sayom, he led us in the splitting of the sea. Hechlanu Samon, we ate the man. Im Yoimer, if Moshe Rabbeinu will say, Asu Sumas Velula Rikia, make ladders and climb up to the heaven. Loi Nishmaloi, won't we listen to him? Ola Nala Virashnasai. Under all circumstances, will we listen to what Moshe Rabbeinu says, and we will be able to prevail. So Mefarshim asks, why did Yeshua say, why did Kalev say something which was so untenable? Could they make ladders and reach to heaven? So Mefarshim say that the gematria of the word sulam is kol, voice. And what Kalev was telling them was that we with our sulam, we with our kol, we with our tefillah have the ability to reach the heaven. And if we have the ability to reach heaven, we can do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, because he could do whatever he wants if we are mispalo with our kol, which is the gematria of sulam to him. So the miraglim say, V'anosh m'shal olu ima amr lo nuchal, amr avchanina ba'papa, dover godl dibra miraglim ha'shashah. The miraglim spoke very strongly at that time. They said, ki chazakum imenu, says the Gemara, what they meant to say was, al tikr imenu, al imenu kaviyachal. They were saying that the Kananim are even stronger than God. Kaviyachal, afil balabayis, any yachal ayat tikel misham, we cannot leave, nobody could leave Kanan, the Kananim are even chas v'shalom stronger than God. So Maral asks, why would we explain the pasuk that way? The simple pshan in the pasuk is that they were saying that the Kananim are stronger than us. Why are we changing the pasuk pshat in the pasuk? The Maral says, if we were to understand the pasuk that they were saying that the Kananim are stronger than us, that means that they're recognizing that they have strength and that they also have God on their side. So why shouldn't they enter Eretz Yisrael? So therefore what they said was, Chazakum Amen is stronger than God, and nobody can prevail over the Meraglim. The Mefarshim explained, what were they saying? They were saying that God can't win over the Meraglim, and what was the Midah Keneged Midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them with? That ultimately, as we're going to learn later in our Shir, the Aveira the Meraglim was the beginning of all of the tzaris that Klal Yisrael suffered. And amongst the tzaris that Klal Yisrael suffered was that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we went into Golus. So they said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot take us out of Eretz Yisrael. And ultimately that was their punishment, that they were chased out of Eretz Yisrael. The Shmiras HaLoshin uses this Gemara, the Chafetz Chaim, the Shmiras HaLoshin, uses this Gemara to teach us a tremendous lesson. He says, we see from our Gemara how the Yetzer Hara operates. When he says, when the person wants to do something wrong, an Aveira, The Yetzer Hara encourages him to do an Aveira. When a person wants to do the right thing, a person wants to do a mitzvah, he says, he also works and tells them, you're not valuable and you're not able to do a mitzvah. And that's actually what happened here when they said, Ki chazaku mimenu, that you're not, Klai Yisrael are not worthy and valuable enough that they should be able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. They said about Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Achel Shiyashveh. It's a land that eats up its people because everybody was dying. And as the Mefarshim point out, it was indeed true that everybody was dying, because we don't find, say the Mefarshim, that Yeshua and Kalev argued with this point. Obviously, it was indeed true that they were dying. But the Gemara will explain what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intent with doing that. Says the Gemara, Darash Rava, Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Chashavti L'Toiva. My intention was very positive. V'Hem Chashvu L'Ra, but they turned what I meant to do for their benefit into something bad. Ani Chashavti L'Toiva. I meant good. To Kalhech D'Matu, wherever the Meraglim arrived, the most important people died, that Keichad and Nitzadu, so the Kananim should be busy with burying their dead, and they therefore won't ask about who are these Meraglim that entered our land. Vikad Amri, what happened was, Eiv Nafshei, Eiv passed away, the Trudi Kulam Bespeda, everybody was busy with the Hesped of Eiv. They thought, but they said it's bad, that people are dying. And as Mefarshim explained, so why do we fault Meraglim? Isn't seeing people die a legitimate reason to say something bad about the country? So Mefarshim explained, the Yin Yaakov says the following teretz. He says that if a person has a muna and bitachna and a kodesh baruch, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him he's doing something, he recognizes that it's good. And that the problem with the Meraglim was that they had the wrong perspective. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them and said, I'm sending to Eretz Yisrael and everything will be fine, they should have accepted that instead of thinking, why, maybe there's something wrong here, people are dying. Another pshat that I saw from the Ben Yoyada is that, what were they trying to say? They were trying to say that there's something wrong with this country. People are dying. So he says, if the people who are dying were the sick and poor people, that would be understandable what they were saying. It's a country where you have to be a very strong, healthy person to survive. But here, it was obvious that this wasn't a normal situation. Because normally, if there's disease in a country, the first to pass away are the sick, poor people. Here was the Chshuvim that passed away. So they obviously should have recognized that something, that there's a divine plan here. And they didn't take the lesson, and that's why the Pasuk faults them by saying this. Why did Eiv pass away then? So Mefarshim explained, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely caused that Eiv should die at that time, that the schus of Eiv should not be able to help them. Mefarshim also asked, according to the first pshat, that people were dying all over, we could understand what they said. But according to the second pshat, there was only Eiv that died, so what's pshat that they were hespeded them all over? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is, since as we just said, Eiv was the greatest person in the country, so not only in the city where he lived did they make a spadim, they made a spadim throughout the entire country, and that's why everybody was busy with a hesped. Another pshat that I saw from the Chidah, interesting pshat, the Chidah says that their minig was that when somebody passed away, they didn't immediately bury him, they buried him temporarily. Only when a great person passed away did they bury all the people who they had not yet permanently buried. So now when Eiv died, they were busy burying all these people who had, so to speak, piled up that had not yet been buried. So the Pasuk says, V'ti b'einenu k'chagovim v'keneinu. We felt like grasshoppers, and they thought we were grasshoppers. Says the Gemara, Omram Sharshir, Meraglim shakri hava. Meraglim were liars. Bishlam v'nibay neinu kachagovim. That we felt like grasshoppers compared to them is understandable. L'chai. Alvakena yinu b'chagbeinayim. That they thought that we were grasshoppers. Menohavi yadi. How did they know that they thought that we were grasshoppers? That's Pashpashan the Gemara. The Kotzker explains the Gemara as follows. We have to always cause that we should make a positive impression on other people. But that what other people think about us, Menavi Yadi, what does it make a difference what they thought about us? Says the Gemara, V'loihi. They weren't saying something that wasn't accurate. Because Kavimavri Avli, as we just learned, there were many people that passed away. And after somebody comes back from the levaya of a close relative, he served the Sudas Havra, a meal that's fed by other people to him. And they sat down to sit the Sudas Havra, Tusi Azav Mavri. They sat under the trees to eat the Sudas Havra, the Kichizinu, and when they spotted the Meraglim, Solko Yasu Veloni. The Meraglim went and climbed up the trees, they shouldn't be noticed. Shami the Kaamri, and they heard that the people were saying, Kachazini Inchi, we see people, the Dom Lakamtsbeloni, that they look like people, but they're the size of grasshoppers. In fact, the Tosfos Shantz quotes an interesting medrash. What happened was that the daughter of Anach, one of the Anokim, ate a pomegranate. And the pomegranate was so large that one of the Meraglim was able to hide in the peel of the pomegranate, which she ultimately picked up and threw out of the field, and that's how he was thrown out of the field. That's how they recognized how small they were. Says the Gemara, V'tisa kol ha'eda, v'yisus kulam v'yifku, Amr Rabba Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Oysa yoyim Tisha B'Avayah, Erev Tisha B'Avayah, that was the day of Tisha B'Av, Amr Kodesh Baruch Hu, Heim Bachu B'chiyah Shechinam, Klai Yisrael cried for no good reason, V'ani Ekvalem B'chiyah L'dairus, Tisha B'Av became the day of B'chiyah L'dairus. So the Pashup Shah in the Gemara, this is the way the Me'iri learned the Gemara, this was the first bad thing that happened to Klai Yisrael, and ultimately this was the day in the calendar of Klai Yisrael when bad things happened. But the Brisker Rav says a different pshat. The Brisker Rav says, as we learned earlier, this Chet of Meraglim was the beginning of all of the tzaris and all of the punishments that happened to Klai Yisrael. And included in that is what happened here, that because of this, ultimately, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and Klai Yisrael was sent to Golus. The Yerayim Kol Edom Ligam Aysom Bavonim, V'ksiv, V'kfar Hashem Ner Ba'el Ma'id. On Rav Chibur Abba, Melamed Shenotnu Avonim, V'zorakum Kapim Ma'al. They took stones and threw it to heaven. Which is a difficult Gemara to understand. What were they doing? They were trying to stone HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean? So some explain what it means was that it wasn't physical stones. It was verbal stones. They said things to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Others explain that they threw stones at the Anani HaKavod, which led them in the Midbar and represented the Shechina, and they were rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another pshat, Klapi Mala, means that they didn't throw stones at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They threw stones at Moshe and Aaron and Yeshua and Kalev, all of whom represented the opinion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, another pshat that I saw is that they were said as follows. When somebody throws a stone, it's very hard to throw the stone up. It requires effort. But for the stone to come down, gravity causes that the stone should come down very easily. And that's what they were saying. We will enter Eretz Yisrael, but we will be expelled like the stone that falls down from heaven very easily. Says the Gemara, V'yimosa anoshim, Maitzi divas ha-ra, divas ha-aretz rabba ma-geifa, they died a very distinctive death. How do we know it? Because as the Mefarshim explained, the Mishnah says, the Pasuk says, Dibas Ra Horus Ra. Diba, by definition, means that they said something bad. So why does the Pasuk add the word Ra? It must be to teach us that they died a Misa Mishnah. What does that mean? Amar Rav Chanina Papa, Darsh Rav Shila Ish Kfat Hamrata, Melamed Shatar V'Lashoinam Nafal Tiburam. Their tongues reached their navel, V'Yitaloyim Yoytzis M'Lashoinam, from which worms went out of their tongues, V'Nechnosus B'Tiburam, entered the navel. M'Tiburam V'Nechnosus M'Lashoinam, and then went back, those worms went back from the navel to the tongue. What's Pshat? So the Kli Yoker explains that it's a throw is the Tibur Oretz, is the center of the world. They who spoke disparagingly about Eretz Yisrael, which is the center of the world, with their mouth, with their tongue, had this Misa. Another pshat is, the Tabur, the navel, represents the life, the center of life of a person. The Gemara says that a people are created from the center, from the navel, and they destroy their existence by speaking badly of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Baskrim, so they die with Asker, which is the death of choking, which is the death one Chas V'Shalom suffers if he speaks Lashon Hara. As we explained, the Gemara, we're really learning two sugyas. We're learning the sugya about the Meraglim, and we're also learning the sugya of what happened when Klai Yisrael passed through the Yarden in entering Eretz Yisrael. So now we go back to that sugya about what happened as they entered the Rat Yarden. Says the Gemara, the Kivin Sha'ol Achon Shabbi Yisrael Man Yarden, when the last Jew went out on the west side from the Yarden, which was split, as the Kohanim holding the Aron was standing in it, Ha'chazer Ma'alam Kaimam, the water went back to its original flow. Shenemar, Vayi Ba'alois HaKohanim Noisi Aron Bris Hashem Atoich HaYarden, as the Kohanim went out of the Yarden, Nisku Kapis Ragel Kohanim Al-Kharova, when the Kohanim's feet reached dry land, Yeshuva me Yadel Mekaimim. The Yadel went back to its old flow. The Yelchuk Kismail Shilshom Akol Kedoysav. Nimtza Aron v'Noisav v'Kahanim Mitzarechot. The Aron and the Kahanim were on the east side. The Yisrael Mitzarechot and the Yisraelim on the west side. How did the Kahanim now pass over the Yarden? Nos Aronis Noisav. The Aron carried them. V'ovar shnemar v'hika shetam kol am lavor v'yava aron Hashem v'kahanim lifnei am. That's how the entire people went. The kahanim went ahead. So the question is obvious: why did it have to be that way? Why didn't the kahanim, together with everybody else, pass through the Yarden? So the Mefarshim explain: because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us the lesson of Aron Noiseis Noisav, the power of Torah, what it has to carry those that carry it. And as Mepharshim say, not only does it mean that those that learn Torah have this Hatzlacha, but even the people who are Noisei the Torah, even the people who support the Loimdei HaTorah, Aron Noiseis Noisav, the Aron carries them. The Mepharshim asks that the Gemara Masechta the Shabbos, when it wants to teach us the Halachas of Masa, the Halacha of carrying on Shabbos, learns it from the carrying of the Aron. But here we're learning in our sugya, we're going to learn now that carrying of the Aron was very unique. It was Aron Noisei Es Noisav. So how could we learn from there Halacha of Masa? So one teretz that I saw from the Chassam Sofer is that we know there were two Aronis. One Aron was the Aron in which the Luchas were kept, and the other Aron was the Aron in which the Shivrei Luchas, the broken Luchas, were kept. Al-Gemar is talking about the Aron that had the whole Luchas. The Gemar Masech, the Shabbos, is referring to the Aron that had the broken Luchas. The Klaus Megareb in the Shailas HaTshuvas to Veryatziv gives a different answer. He says that even though we're learning now that Aron Noisei Es Noisav, still the Torah calls carrying the Aron the words Avoidas Masa. So why is the Torah calling it the Avoid of carrying if it wasn't carrying? To teach us halachas of carrying from it. Says the Gemara Davazan Nanish Uza, because Uza did not learn the lesson of Aron Noiseis Noisav, he was punished. For as we learned, in the time of Eli, the Plishtim took the Aron, captured the Aron. After a short while, they returned it to Klal Yisrael, to the city of Kiryas Yorim, and it was in the home of Avinodov. Then Dovra Melech came to take it from the home of Avinodov to Yerushalayim to the home of Oved Edom. And as Dovram, and as the Aron is being transported on the wagon, Shenemar, v'yoven agarim kidam, v'yishlach Uzas yodoi lachos es Aron. Uza thought that the arm was about to fall off the wagon, so he wanted to hold it. Omlai Kodesh Baruch Hu, so Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Uza, Uza, noisev, noisev, the Aron has the ability to carry those that carry it. Atzmali Koshkein, the Aron, you don't have to worry that the Aron is going to fall off, and that's why he was punished. Says the Gemara, V'yicha af Hashem be'Uza, v'yakeu sham al ha'shal. He was killed there. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Loza, Charamal iskishloi. One is because he made this error in not remembering that Aron noises noisov. The Charamash also tzrach b'fonov that he used the bathroom in front of the Aron. So Farshim say, how did Uza use the bathroom in front of the Aron not to show that respect? So they explain it wasn't that he actually went to the bathroom right in front of the Aron, but where he used the bathroom was in the line of vision of the Aron, which was highly inappropriate. Another pshat is that why do you have to use the bathroom? Because the Gemara says that when somebody becomes frightened, he has to use the bathroom. Uza became frightened when he thought that the Aron was falling, which was of course a mistake, and that's why he used the bathroom. So it all came from the same mistake, not recognizing that Aron noisav is noisav, which is the fact what the Mashal says. Certainly, even this mandament says, also Trachov has to agree that Uza did the wrong thing by trying to steady the Aron. It's just all really one pshat. The Gra has another interesting pshat. The Gra and the Arizal both hold that on Tisha B'Av one should not make the Brichas HaShachar of Sha'osli Katsarki, because they say that that bracha is made when one wears shoes, and on Tisha B'Av we don't wear shoes. So we know that the pasuk says that when one enters the vicinity of the Aron, Sal na lecha me'al reglecha, he has to take off his shoes. Sha'os tzrocha b'fonav, the complaint on Uza was that he did not take off tzarchi, he did not take off his shoes when he was near the Aron. V'yom eshamim Aron alakim, the pasuk says, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Uza bal olam haba. Uza enters olam haba. Shnema im aroin alakim. Ma Aron olam kayim, just like the Aron is forever, af Uza bal olam haba, Uza will come to olam haba. V'yichel David, David was upset, asher paratz Hashem peretz b'Uza, for what happened to Uza. Aron of Laza, what does that mean? Shnishtan upon of kichororo. His face became black like coals. Like the Mefarshim explained, even though normally v'yichar means somebody becomes angry, here David had nothing to be angry about. He was the one that caused the problem by putting the Aron on the Agola. So therefore what it must mean is that he felt terrible. Elmato kol kseicha d'ksiv v'yichar chanami. Ask the Gemara, is that going to be the definition of the word v'yichar everywhere where it appears in Tanakh? Answers the Gemara, hosom. Usually the word v'yichar is coupled with the word af, which means anger. Hocha, however, here like siv af, and that's why it's translated differently. Darish Rava. So says Rava, but neiman nanish David, why did this happen to David HaMelech? Says the Gemara, Mnei Shekarol of Divrei Torah's mirrors. David HaMelech called Divrei Torah like a song. Shnemar Zmiris Hayli Chukecha Bebeis Megurei. David HaMelech calls Divrei Torah's mirrors. Omlai Kodesh Baruch Hu, so Kodesh Baruch Hu says to David, Divrei Torah, regarding Divrei Torah, Shekasu Behen, that the pasuk says regarding Divrei Torah, Hisof Enechabo Venenu, if you close your eyes, it's gone, at the Kairos and Zmiris, and as the Mishnah explains, Zmiris, a person doesn't constantly sing. But for one to have success in Limud HaTorah, he has to constantly learn. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to David was, how do you call Divrei Torah Zmiris? Haredi Meshulch V'Dava Shafila Tanakish Beis Rabbim Yad Nasai. I'm going to cause you to trip up in something that everyone, even the children in yeshiva know. So as the pasuk says, "Tiksev l'vnei kos loynasun kavodas hakodesh," that wagons were not given to the b'nei kos because they knew that the Aron is carried. V'yu asiv agelto, and he put the Aron into the or into onto a wagon. The Pasuk can point out that even though our Gemara criticizes David HaMelech for calling Divrei Torah Smirois, we do find that the Gemara sometimes calls Divrei Torah Smirois. What does it mean? That if one finds that by using a melody, by singing in his learning, he will remember his learning better, that is nothing wrong. But to compare Divrei Torah to Smirois was unacceptable. Says the Gemara. The Gemara speaks about another situation where people did not act respectfully towards the Aron. As we said earlier, the Plishtim returned the Aron to Klal Yisrael, and the Pasuk says, "V'yach ba'anshei beis shemesh k'ra ba'aron." So asked the Gemara, "Mishum d'ro, because they saw the Aron v'yach, that's why they were punished?" So we have a machlokes. As they were working, they did not stop working when they bowed to the Aron, and that's a terrible lack of respect. They said some inappropriate words towards the Aron. Ma Amrich, they said, "Who got you angry? Who angered you, Damrais, when you were angry? Or man asalach the feis, and what made you now no longer angry?" Which, of course, was a terrible way of talking to the Aron. Mefarshim explained, what is the basis of this machlokes? The Inyakov explains. He says, the Gemara Masechet Kedushin says that when one is working, he's supposed to constantly concentrate on working, on nothing else. And that's what happened. And the question is, and if a Talmud Chacham passes by, even though normally the din is that when a Talmud Chacham passes by, you have to stand up in his honor, not while you're in the middle of working. The question is, does the same din apply when the Aron passes by? The man that faults them for not stopping to work when the Aron passes by says, when a Talmud Chacham passes by, you don't stop. But the Aron walks by, you have to, of course, stop. And therefore, the Pasuk faults them. The other man says that the same din applies even when the Aron passes by. When you're working, you have to concentrate on the work. The complaint in them was the terrible thing that the Gemara just says that they said. V'yach ba'om shim ish, chameshim elef ish, revu rebeloza, charam ish shim ish hayu, there were 70 people. However, v'kol echa v'echad shokul chameshim elef, each was equal to 50,000. V'charam chameshim elef hayu, there were 50,000 people. The Kol Echav Echad Shokel B'Shim Sanhedrin, that were equal to the 70 people who won the Sanhedrin. Ask the Mefarshim, what causes the Gemara to explain the Pasuk this way? So there's a few answers. One answer is that if the Pasuk meant that 57,000 people were killed, it should have said Shivim V'Chamishim. Why is there no Vav before the Chamishim? Another teretz is, why does the word Ish appear after the word Shivim, and then appear again after the word Chamishim Elef? And yet a third reason is that if it meant that 57,000 people were killed, it should have said the 50,000 number first. The Pasuk usually uses the larger number first. Here the fact that the Pasuk says this lower number first leads us to the drasha that the Gemara just gave us. The Pasuk says that after Uzzah died, now David HaMelech is taking the Aron from the home of Oved Edom to the home of to the Aron HaYavusi. V'hikat Sadu Noisei Aron Hashem Shisut Sadim Vizach Shomeri. Now they showed tremendous respect. V'ksiv, they shechted an axe and a fat animal. V'ksiv Shiva Parim V'shiva Elim, seven bulls and seven rams. How do we reconcile the Pesukim? Amar Rapap Bashmul, for every step that they took, they shechted a shomeri, an axe and a fat animal. And then after they finished taking six steps, they shechted seven axe bulls and seven rams. Amalei Rav Chisda asks Rav Chisda if that's what happened. Im came Malaysa kol Eretz Yisrael bamas. There was an incredible amount of bamas, an incredible amount of animals slaughtered. Elam Rav Chisda, akol sheish v'sheish psiyoy shamari, after 6 steps they shechted an ox and a fat animal, and then after kol shisha sudorim shesheis psiyas, after every 6 series of 6 steps they shechted shiva parim v'shiva elam. The Gemara said, the pasuk says regarding Uzza, different words where the story with Uzza happened. Ksiv, in Divrei Yomim it said it happened in Kidoy, and in Shmuel it said Nochon. Amar Yochan, B'tchila Kidon. The beginning, the Aron was called a Kidon. A Kidon means a spear, because the Kidon, the Aron was the cause of Uzza's death. L'psayf Nochon, it brought tremendous bracha, because the pasuk says that the Aron, once it came to the home of Eved Edom, brought to the home of Eved Edom tremendous bracha. He had a lot of children. Rashi gives another explanation. Rashi says that first the Aron was not in a steady place, and then afterwards the Aron was brought to the place of Aron HaYavusi, which was its permanent resting place. Nimtzes at Omer, says the Gemara, after learning about the various stones, the Gemara now will continue discussing them. At Omer Shlosh Min Avonahay, there were 3 types of stones. Echad Shikim Moshe Beretz Mayav, one was the stones that Moshe put up in the land of Mayav. Shenemar, Be'evar Yardin Be'eretz Mayav, Hoyal Moshe Be'er, Moshe Rabbeinu began to explain the Torah. Ulal Arama, B'ksafta Avonim Eskol Divrei Torah Azoyz V'asi Be'er. So just like the Yardin there were stones, and Gilgal were the stones, so too says the Gemara through Gzeir Shava were the stones Moshe Rabbeinu put up in Eretz Mayav. Vechad Sheikim Yeshu V'toycha Yardin, Yeshu put up stones in the Yardin, as we discussed in the previous year. Shenem Eshtem Esri Avonim Heikim Yeshua V'soycha Yardin, Vechad Sheikim V'Gilgal, and one was put up in Gilgal. Shenem Eshtem Esri Avonim Eilu Ashalachu. Tanabonin Ketzet Kosvi Yisrael Satayra. We know, we discussed, that the entire Torah was inscribed on the stones that were on by Har Evel. What exactly happened? Yehuda Omer Agave Avonim Kasua. They were written on top of stone. Shenemar V'chasafta Avonim is called Divrei Torah Zois. On stone should be inscribed in Torah Taira. V'achkach Sod Nois V'Sid. And then they were covered with plaster. So Farshim asked the obvious question: if we want to make the Torah accessible, why are they covering it up with plaster? So one pshat is, it's the same concept that a safer should not be left open. You can't just leave the words of the Torah exposed. They have to be covered with plaster. Another pshat is, as we're going to learn, the lesson here was to learn the Torah. And the lesson here is that learning Torah doesn't always come easily. Sometimes you have to scrape the plaster off. You have to work to be able to understand and learn Torah. Amar Shimon, Lidvaracha, according to you, how did they learn Torah if it was covered with plaster? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them an extra measure of understanding. They took off the plaster. There's an interesting shaila that the Paiskim discuss, and that is if on the walls of a shul are written psukim or different tefillos, can one paint over those walls? And they want to bring a raya from our Gemara that the Divrei Torah were written on the stones. On the top of the stones, according to Yehuda, plaster was put. So we see that plaster can be put on top of the words of Torah. But the Paiskim Dempadam Iris says it's not really a raya, because the reason it's not a raya is because this was a very thick coating of plaster that came off very easily. But if one puts a coating of paint on top of the wall of a shul that doesn't come off easy and will take off the words that are under it, perhaps that may be awesome. Mefarshim also discussed, Tosfos discusses, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already given the Goyim the opportunity to learn Torah. So why were they now given the opportunity again? They had refused. So the Mefarshim explained, this was already after the Torah was given. Perhaps now that the Torah was already given, we again want to give them the opportunity to learn Torah. Farshim also ask that how could we want the goyim to learn that the halacha is that goy is not allowed to learn divrei Torah? So there are two answers. One is that's only regarding Torah Shabbat. Here we're obviously referring to Torah Shabbat Ksav. And another answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the goyim one more chance to learn Torah. And if they don't take that that opportunity, then they are forever also to learn Torah. And in fact, and that's what the Gemara says, Valdel v'zen nischatim gzadina l'bashachas, and because they didn't take this opportunity, they were put into Gehenna forever, shahayla and lima v'loy limda. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says, agabi sid kasvua. They plastered the stones, and on top of the plaster, they wrote the Divrei Torah. And in fact, the Chabina Rav uses this Gemara, l'haloch l'maisa, if one is allowed on the klaf to put different treatments to make the klaf more beautiful on which a Divrei Torah, a Sefer Torah is written. And he says from here we see that you're allowed to do that because like over there also we find that the stones were plastered on before they wrote the Torah on it. Continues Rav Shimon. The Kosvul and Lamata, and they wrote on the bottom of the page, on the bottom of the stone, Lamana Shalom Yimadu Lasis Kekol. Halamadata, what you learn from here. Shemahari Chayz B'tshuva, had the goyim done tshuva, Haymekabon Haysan. They would have been accepted into Klal Yisrael. What's that? It's written at the bottom of the page. He wrote the entire Torah. So some Mefarshim explain that it really wasn't the entire Torah that was written. Only certain parts of the Torah were written, but this Pasuk was also written. Another Pshat that I saw for the Ben Yayada, because since this Pasuk is so important, it was written twice. The Chazon Ish says they wrote the entire Torah, but they wrote it in a way that this should come out on the bottom of a stone, which will be more noticeable that the Goyim should learn the lesson. Amar Rav Bashel, my Tamar, Rav Shimon, the first the stones were plastered and the Torah was written on top of it. They were destroyed because of the Sid that they didn't learn the Torah, which was written on top of the plaster. Rabbi Yehuda, how does Rabbi Yehuda explain the pasuk? His sid, mas sid ain't like takana el sreifa. Just like sid, the only way you could remedy sid is by burning it. That's how you process limestone. Af oisim avunim akoytsim elam tak af oisim akutim elam takana el sreifa. They will fall into Gehenna because they don't want to learn and accept the Torah. So we have here machloikis of Shimon and Yehuda, not just about how it was written, but another machlokes was if they could have done tshuva and been accepted into Klal Yisrael. Rav Shimon says they would have been accepted. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Says the Gemara, "Kaman Oslo Hada Tanya." The pasuk says, "V'shavisa Shavya L'Rabbis Knanim Shebechutz Laretz." That Knanim that live in Chutz Laretz Shemchozim Tshuva B'Kavon Isai. Command Rav Shimon, which Rav Shimon said that if the Kananim would have done tshuva, they would have been accepted. There's machlokes rishonim, which Kananim would have been accepted. Rashi learns only Kananim that lived in Chutz Laretz would be accepted. Kananim that live in Eretz Yisrael, the pasuk says lo sechai kol neshama, it would never be accepted into Klal Yisrael. However, other rishonim disagree and say that all Kananim at that point, had they done tshuva, would have been accepted into Klal Yisrael.